So let's begin. So we're picking up today on page Yud, section Ches. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So we started speaking last week, 2 weeks ago, we made a very important chilik. And the chilik was between what the Mechaber called the Siba HaKoleles and the Siba HaMiyuchedes. That in life, we have two different purposes in existence. There's an individual purpose, and there's a general purpose. The individual purpose, again, remember, is linked back to that which you struggle with. If I struggle with something, a specific issue or specific issues, chances are that's the whole reason that I'm here in this world again. That's the whole reason for the Gilgul. That's the whole reason why I'm here. But we're not focusing on that now. We'll come back to that later on. Our focus much more is on what he called this Siba HaKoleles, this general overarching purpose of existence that is true for every single individual. So already last week, we began to examine what is this Siba HaKoleles. So we explained, essentially, it's Dveikus Bashem. It's this connection, this clinging, this incredible interconnectedness with the Ribono Shel Olam. And remember again, so that's we started that. So remember again, what the Mechaber also said is, once you discover, Mazel tov. Once you discover what this purpose is, it's not just enough to know it, but remember what has to happen. You have to keep it in front of you at all times. You have to be ever present, ever aware of it. Remember again, he gave the mashal. Just like if the carpenter is sawing the piece of wood, he has to keep full concentration on the saw and on the board, on the purpose. If he loses focus on the purpose, he can end up chas v'shalom harming himself. It's an incredible metaphor for life. If you lose sight of your purpose here, ultimately a person could end up inflicting incredible harm, incredible damage. So with that, we pick up with paragraph Ches. Adam Amiti. So a person, a true person, and once again, you'll see this refrain very often because the Mechaber's whole approach with this is that if a person wants to grow, the most important thing is they have to be honest with themselves. They have to be honest. You know, it's an interesting idea. It's, you know, if you ask, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want most from us? So some people often say, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want most from us? Tov Yukim the latest. So I'm going to have to call that. Hey, what does the Kalish Baruch Hu
want? To be close to him and do mitzvahs.
Nice. Right, good. That's always the same. So this often, this do mitzvahs, this do good, this don't do bad. But the truth is, if you think about it, that's not really what the Ribono Shel Olam wants of us. What Kalish Baruch Hu wants from us more than anything is the truth is what we want most from most people from with whom we have relationships. If I'm in a relationship with someone, what's the most important thing I want from that individual? Most important thing you want from me, interpersonal relationships. Okay, good. What else? Even before that, something much simpler. Honesty. We all know in life, if a person is not honest, they could be the greatest, bless you, they could be the greatest Baal Chesed, they could be the nicest person. The truth is, generally, I don't want anything to do with them. If you're not honest, if you don't have integrity, if you're not tochel kibaro, you know, if your inside is not like your outside is not like your inside, it's difficult to relate to people like that. It's no different with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't even ask us to be great. What he asks us to be is to be honest. Just to be honest in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, what I am and what I'm not, and try just to become more. That's all. So when he uses this lesson of Adam Amiti means a genuine person. So for a genuine person who heard these words, V'kiba osam nafsho b'tzura amitis, and he accepts them, meaning these words refer to this idea that the ultimate goal of man is what, quoting the pasuk from David HaMelech, V'ani kirvas Elokim li'ko, that the ultimate goal of man is closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we don't know what that means yet. We don't know how to quantify that yet. But let's assume for a moment that that's the real essence of life. So remember again, the Ramchal was the one who we quoted in last week's shir of speaking about this idea that ultimately a person, that the essence of life is this kirva, is this tevekas to Hashem. So let's follow this train of thought for a moment. If we accept the premise of the Ramchal, accept the premise of David HaMelech, that the essence of life is closeness, interconnectedness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the true purpose of life, then what do I have to do? So, lichtov osam al daf, ulianiach zos pikiso. What do I have to do? I have to write it down on a piece of paper, right? And I have to put it in my pocket. And what do I do? Va'achas l'reva sha'alerech. And once every 15 minutes or so, l'man ya'amdu ad-dvarim halalu negedeinav b'chol esu b'chol sha'amamish, So what do? I have this piece of paper. I want to sit on this piece of paper. Tiny little piece of paper that says, again, the purpose of life is closeness and interconnectedness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every 15 minutes, I take that piece of paper out of my pocket and I look at it and I study it. I have to constantly remind myself of my purpose in life. What's the purpose? Hadvekus bo'is baruch shemo. To cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Closeness, interconnectedness. Hu kori hadvarim od pam va'od pam ad asher hadvarim halalu chayim leneged einov. A person reads it over and over and over again until these words literally are living truths in front of my eyes. Lelo tzorach l'estaklu b'daf. And at some point in time, perhaps, it will become unnecessary to look at the paper. Ela mitoch hakaras nefesh habura b'tach l'sachayim v'achipos hamatmid liyasem es hadvarim. So, also, this is very important to show. And this is in general. You know, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in his introduction to Mesilas Yesharim, says something very profound. He says that there's nothing in this sefer that you're going to learn that's new. He says, you know, if you're looking for chidushim, if you're looking for something unique, if you're looking for an incredible novel idea that you've never seen before, wrong address. There are no, and it's true, if you learn Mesilas Yesharim, you'll notice the truth is, everything he says after you read it, you say to yourself, it's pretty pashut. But you know, what's the great chav in life? The great chav in life is to keep yourself ever, ever aware of the pashut things. Because it's the pashut things, it's the simple, obvious things that very often just fall by the wayside. So how do you make sure that the simple things that you know, but I don't necessarily actualize, how do you keep those fresh in your mind? Literally by constantly refreshing them in my mind. He's not like making an exaggeration over here. He's saying, literally, I take out the piece of paper every 15 minutes. I take a look at it. It says again, Tachlis hachayim hi devekas b'Hashem yisparach. The essence of life is clinging interconnectedness to God. And I keep doing that. One day, it will become part of my consciousness. But until that day, I have to keep reinforcing it. Paragraph test. Kama zman bayom. This is also a very incredible idea. Kama zman bayom. Sha'adam zocher as tachlis chayov. For all the time that a person remembers the tachlis of his life, the purpose of his life, zehu hazman shu be'emes chay. We'll skip the parentheses for now. When you remember your purpose, that's when you're alive. Shar hazman shu asak b'shar dvarin. Lelo zechiras habori yisbar shemo. But the other times in life where I'm doing other stuff and I'm not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not thinking about what he says, what he means is, I'm not thinking about my tachlis, I'm not thinking about my purpose of dveikus. Listen to what he says. Zehu dimui shel misa. It's like being dead. V'ha'adam nitzrach l'tchias ha'mesim b'chol eis u'b'chol sha'ah. So we'll say, what happens? When I lose my awareness of my purpose in life, it's kibiyachos like being dead. And then when I remind myself of it, what is it? It's a tchias ha'mesim. So my day is a constant back and forth between death and rebirth, death and rebirth, death and rebirth. You know, there's a beautiful fart. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Kol haneshama tahalel ko." So every neshama will praise Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Zohar writes, "Bechol neshima uneshima tahalel ko." With every breath, you should praise Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe of Levi Yitzchak and Berdisha brings down, he says something amazing. What does it mean with every single breath you have to praise Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the Rebbe says something amazing. Says, every single time you exhale, your neshama yearns to leave your body. Your neshama does not, my neshama doesn't want to be here. I mean, here's good, I mean here, you know what I'm saying? You know, neshama doesn't want to be in Olam Hazeh, right? Neshama doesn't want to be in this world. The neshama wants to be in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the celestial sphere. It wants to be in a place that's Kula Kadosh. And what does Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Every single time I exhale, the Ribono Shel Olam orders my neshama to stay put. Orders my neshama to remain within my body. Says Rabbi, that's the pshat. Bechol neshima uneshima tahalka. Just realize every single time you exhaled, your neshama wanted out, the Ribono Shel Olam ordered it back in. The truth is, so according to this, is anyone understanding of it also? What do you think bechol neshima uneshima? That the truth is, throughout the day, we all have our lapse of awareness, or lapses of awareness about purpose in life. During those lapses, it's kiviyachol, like a person is in a state of misa. Because the truth is, also, I think about this for just a moment. What is life without a purpose? What is life without a purpose? So life without a purpose, that's not called life, that's called death. Meaning a person could be organically alive, but yet still be Judaically dead. I could be living, breathing, talking, thinking, but if I don't have a purpose, if I don't have a tachlis, then it really, what am I doing? Since the whole day is this constant death, rebirth. He goes on. He says, Va'adam nitzrach l'tichas ha'meis, m'chal yitzchosho, tichya, sh'tichya, shehu yiskar madua chai, u'ma tachliso kan ba'olam hazeh. He will live, or he'll rebirth himself every single time he thinks about why he's here and what his purpose is. Gam b'sha'a sh'adam mekayim mitzvos, alav liskor sh'tachlis ha'mitzvos milashon tzavsa. Kimo sh'kasa b'sar makadoshim, kilomar sh'kol tachlis ha'mitzvos, he lihios tseves lebore, lihios karov v'dolabore. So there's also, we spoke about this in the beginning of the Sefer, the idea that we often have a misunderstanding of what mitzvos are. So we think, you know, mitzvos are an end. Mitzvos are not an end. Mitzvos are a means. What are mitzvos supposed to do? Mitzvos are supposed to keep you linked to your ongoing God awareness. Mitzvos are supposed to create advikas. Think about what do mitzvos do? If you think about mitzvos, the mitzvos that we have essentially regulate every single area of life. Right? If you think about it, there's not one area of life in our Judaic lives, in our human lives, that is not regulated by Yiddishkeit. There's not one part of our lives. From the most intimate matters to the most public matters, all of it ultimately is governed by Torah. What's the point of that? The point of that is because since there are mitzvot associated with every aspect of life, it brings the Ribono Shel Olam into every aspect of life. By bringing the Ribono Shel Olam into every aspect of life, it ensures that what? That I never have a lapse of what he calls my tachlis or my siba hakoleles. I never lose sight as to what my purpose is. So before I eat something, I have to make a bracha, because again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to have this. Again, even something as simple, I was thinking of this, there was an avodah zara called Baal Pa'ar. So how did you serve Baal Pa'ar? You would defecate on the idol. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we might not agree with avodah zara, but you know, at the end of the day, people held their idols in very high esteem. Right? So what's the pshat? Why would anybody worship a deity like that? So the Rav says, the truth is, we have something not so far off from that. It's called Asher Yatzar. Right? So what do? After a person takes care of their bodily needs, they see the godless in that. That I even, it sounds strange, but I even see the Ribono Shel Olam in the ability to eliminate waste from my body. That is, it sounds strange, it's a spiritual experience. It literally is a spiritual. So the worshippers of Baal Pa'ar took that to a little bit too much of an extreme. But the truth is, it's exactly what we do. We go ahead and we infuse HaKadosh, we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every single life experience. And by doing that, we make sure that there's never a lapse in God awareness. There's never a lapse in the Dveikus. He goes on, Lulei Zos, Nechzer Iker Penimios, Mahus HaMitzvah, Vahari Zek Kiguf B'lo Neshama. And the problem says, the Mechaber, something very important. You know what happens? Is that too often in life, our Shmiras HaMitzvos becomes mechanistic. Becomes mechanistic. You know, I know how to observe Shabbos. I know how to avoid skila. I know what not to do. I know what to eat. I know what not to eat. I know all of the mechanistic laws. But what does it do for me spiritually? And also, we know very often the answer that people give, that I'm talking about, again, from people who perhaps have been observing Torah mitzvot their entire lives. If you ask them, tell me, what do the mitzvot do for you? And very often, unfortunately, the answer that you hear is what? Nothing, right? Nothing. I'm hoping maybe I'm avoiding, I don't know, skila, kares, whatever it is, misa v'di shemayim, something. Hopefully there's going to be some schar and olam haba. What does it do to enrich my life? Couldn't really tell you. I don't plan on stopping to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. But lamaisa, I can't exactly tell you how my life is better because of it. And why? Where does that come from? That comes from a lack of understanding as to what the role and goal of a mitzvah is. See, if you look at a mitzvah as an ends, Shabbos is an ends. Okay, so what do I get from it? Not all that much. If Shabbos is a means to recognize, again, to create a greater level of dveikus, because not only is whatever you're going to realize, Shbaruch created the world, HaKadosh Baruch gives me my parnasa, all the different yediyas of Shabbos, then suddenly, again, Shabbos becomes a vehicle by which I am able to fulfill my siba hakolelus. I'm able to actualize my great mission in life of dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you could do that with every single mitzvah. Every single mitzvah has a defined way in which it allows us to actualize a greater degree of achdus with the Ribono Shel Olam. A person has that experience, and suddenly again, a person realizes that all the mitzvos are to keep that awareness ever present in my mind. Kodesh Baruch Hu va'oraisa, the Yisrael Chadhu, see quotes over here, the Zohar that says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah and Yisrael are one entity. What does that mean? Kilomar, Shah Torah, Limuda v'kimitzosah. What it means to say is like this, that Torah, meaning learning Torah, keeping the mitzvos of Torah, tzrichem lihios b'mahalech shalchad. When it says, it's very interesting, when it says, kutcher b'icho oraisi Yisrael chadu, what does that mean? God, Torah, and Am Yisrael are one? Is that true? Shbaruch Hu is one with us. Shbaruch Hu might be close to us, might love us, might care about us, but is he one? So the Chabad says, that's not what it means. What it means is like this, kutcher b'icho oraisi Yisrael chadu means that the whole point of Torah and the whole point of our mitzvos is to what? Is to keep us chad, is to keep us connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzrichim lios mahalik shel chad, b'mahalik shel adam davuk b'torah u'b'borei, v'zeh tachlis chayov t'veikus b'torah b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is such a profound yisod, and it's really, I think it's one of the incredibly missed lessons in Judaism, and the truth is, it's one of the important things also that we have to, from a chinuch perspective, to convey to children. Because very often, again, you know, parenting is a very fine science, as we know, and parenting has become even more complicated in today's world. You know, it's there's this fine line. On one hand, you know, you have to tell your child what they have to do. Right? This is sometimes very countercultural. You know, I was in a store the other week, and there was a kid there who was mamish. He was having a tantrum. He was having a tantrum in the middle of the store, and the mother, you know, gets down on one knee, and she says, tell me what's bothering you. You know, use your words. Like, use your words. Use your hands. You know, there's this notion, like, you know, and everybody's so scared that if you discipline your kids, they're going to go off the derech. Or if you tell them what they have to do, then they're going to resent you. They're going to resent the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're going to resent everything. It's not true. It's
from New York?
I'm sorry?
New Jersey.
Right there. It's not true. It's not true. What children actually crave, even if they don't know it, is authority. Is absolute authority. Children want to be told what to do. You have to condition them from a young age, but that's what parents are there for. The parent is there to give hadracha to the child. But at the same time, along with that hadrach, along with the mechanistic pieces, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to behave like this. The parent also has to convey this beautiful yisod of my child, you know why you're doing this. This is not an ends. You're doing this because this is going to allow you to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. And when a child is little and they can't necessarily be massive, they can't necessarily understand what that means, you just tell them the words. And as they get older, you try to explain to them how every little piece that they do is going to make them feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A child who grows up like that grows up not just with a series of do's and don'ts, but grows up with a system of life that is there for my benefit to allow me to grow connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's yisod for us, but it's so important to pass this on. So important because, as we know, if you don't get it when you're a child, you can get it when you're older. But it's a lot more difficult. It's so much easier. Even if we didn't necessarily get it as kids, some, you know, depending on what a person's background is, so important to instill this in children. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, but let me explain to you why. Not necessarily tamei hamitzvos, but explain to you why. Let me tell you what this is going to do for you. That if you wear your tzitzis, it's going to make you feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if you observe tzniyos, it's going to go ahead. And then you have to be a chacham. You have to understand how it works yourself in order to be able to convey it. But it's such an important layer in Shmiras HaMitzvos. Okay.
Question?
Yes.
Until now, we were saying, Vekas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiras Hashem Nitov, right? At this point, he's saying he adds a subtle, I think, but davuk b'torah u'vavor.
Well,
so it's davuk b'torah u'vavor makes it sound like it's the Torah is the end goal also. It's not just.
Except, I would agree with you. Except again, that's his holoshon of tzedes. What I think he's clearly saying that yes, everything is part of this thing called the Kaddish Baruch, including Torah, but Torah itself is still not the end. And by the way, I want to point out, not everybody would agree with that statement either. There is definitely a school of thought in Judaism that holds that Torah is the ends. The Torah is the end. That Talmud Torah is, that is the goal. That is, you know, that's the Keneged Kulam. Although I'll tell you, remind me at the end, though, leave me 2 minutes. My grandfather's going to the Racha tell me a beautiful vart on that piece, which I'll share with you. But I think he's saying it here, and I think he said it also earlier in the Sefer, that his conception of mitzvos are there as stepping stones. They're not an end. The ultimate goal is Dveikus Bashem. Obviously, that's a very nice goal. How do you get there? So one of the ways we're going to get there is Torah mitzvos. Torah mitzvos. Paragraph Yud. Kirvas Elokim Litov. David Amel says, closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good for me. Ze eino inyon shel yeda o imra. So this is interesting. We'll just begin this paragraph and we'll get to the end of the page here. So he says, this is not something of just a piece of abstract knowledge or a statement. Elo zu metzio sachayim. This is the essence of life. What is that? Ze eino inyon sheshayach rak l'chaga Pesach o l'chaga Shavuos o l'chaga Sukkos. Elo zehu inyon sheshayach l'chol rega v'rega mechaye ha'adam mamish. So the Mechaber says, again, this is really in line with what we were saying before. This idea of creating a closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not something you do, you know, like alternate side of the street parking. You know, I'm going to do it every other Tuesday, or whatever it is, Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, this concept of Dveikos Bashem Yisparach is what? It's ultimately something that is every moment of every day. Shisa Yomim Bashana. 365 days of the year. 24 hours in the day. 60 minutes, every single hour. Zu kol mitzios ha'adam, lios karv labori v'daruch bo, kivas elokim litov, bevadai shebichtei lachios betzurazu. So it's clear that in order to live in this state of constant perpetual dveikos, sarich derech berura va'avodas Hashem. So I'll say, obviously, to live in a constant state of dveikos, a person has to have a clear path in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ketzad magiyim lekach lios tevukim bebor yisbar shemo b'chol rega v'rega mamish. So obviously we'll say, to say that we're striving for Dveikos is very nice. To say we want Dveikos is very nice. But what do I need to do at the end of the day? I need to figure out how to make it happen. How do I actualize that Dveikos? Ulam. So however, we're not there yet. Ulam od lifnei shenevar es haderech lekach, before we begin to explain the pathway to dveikus, reish tzarech sheyehye bar la'adam beir gomer she'en bo tzel shasafek klal mahu tachlis chayr. Let's listen to this. Before we can work on the path or the process as to how to achieve dveikus b'Hashem, there has to be something else that happens, which is what? That we all have to actually agree that this is really the purpose of life. Meaning, you have to accept certain truths in existence before you can actualize them. So first step, before we figure out how to get there, is do I actually believe that? Do I actually believe that my life is about Dveikos Bashem? And do I actually believe that I'm trying to feel that sense of Dveikos every moment of every day? Well, so that's a very tall order. It's a very, very tall order. So the first question I have to ask myself is that really, I have to be genuine with myself, I have to be Adam Amiti, is that really what I want and really what I'm ready to work towards? Tzarech shiyeh bar la'adam, shetachnis ha'chayim hi lios karov v'davuk, page of base, lebor yisbach shemo. A person has to go ahead and a person has to be clear that the entire purpose of his life is to be close and to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol rega v'rega mamish, every single moment. Dveikus pininis b'chol nimi ha'nefesh mamish. I have to believe that my entire tachlis is all about dveikus, an inner connection b'chol nimi ha'nefesh. It's such a beautiful question. B'chol nimi ha'nefesh means like with all of the strands of my soul. Do I really believe that my entire gestalt, my entire mahus, my entire essence is all about Dveikos Bashem? And we'll say, bear in mind, we don't even know what that actually means yet, right? Remember, we're using words and we're using phrases whose definitions we do not yet, we don't know what Dveikos Bashem means. We're just postulating right now, that's the essence of life.
Is it possible for somebody to say no?
It's my simba chol yom.
So then that's the end of the sefer, in other words.
Correct. Correct. Me, you're good. Yeah, we can end this right here. Right. There's no question. A person could say, you know what? I'm not interested in Dveikus all the time. And I take it even a step further. I think very few people say that consciously. I think a lot of people say it subconsciously. I think a lot of people just simply write this off, and we'll see for reasons why. People are not because they don't want it. People often write this off, this goal of dveikus, because they feel it's not attainable for them because of who they are and where they are. And we're going to discuss that as well. But absolutely, people for sure give up on this and say, all right, it doesn't mean you can't be a good person. It doesn't mean you can't do good things. You're just not living a vision-driven life. And what the Mechaber and really based, what David HaMelech says about this, is that a vision-driven life is not a complete life. Let's finish this paragraph. Kilomar, lifnei shenaschil lachapes ulevaris haderech lakach, meaning that before we go ahead and we try to figure out how to actually achieve this level of dveikos, muchroch, so before you decide that you're going down the path, first we have to all be on the same page, not with each other, but with ourselves, that I'm actually committed to this. I'm actually committed to looking for this derech of dveikus. La'an anu rotzim shederech zu tovil osanu. Where do I want this path to lead? Ulekach habara hadavar. Therefore, the first step, Rabosai, is before we even explore what dveikus actually is, the first step is what? Figuring out, is this for me even something that's worth aspiring to? Is this something that's important to me? Is this on my list of the top three important things that I actually feel I want to accomplish?
If you don't know what it is, you might be aspiring to the idea of what it is, but at the end of the day, you kind of need to know what it is and what it entails.
It's true. Except I think what he's saying is you could answer it in a general statement. Meaning, I know that I'm working towards this incredible state of connectedness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I am always aware of His presence. Yes or no? You know, is that something you want or something you don't want? How you get there, what it actually means, betachlis, but is that something that I aspire to? You know, it's no different. You know, if a person is living in an apartment and they say, you know what, I want to move to a house. Okay, so I don't necessarily know what kind of house I want. I don't know what the window dressing should look like. I don't know if I want a backyard, a front yard, a side yard, a swing set. I don't know all the details, but I know that I don't want this apartment anymore. I want something called a house. So when you make that decision, you fill in the rest of the details afterwards. This is the nakuda that every single individual has to clarify for himself. Before we even get into the definitions, the Mechaber says, it's almost like to a certain degree you have to sign on even before... I'm sorry, it's like an Asa v'Nishma, 100. You kind of have to sign on even before you actually go ahead and figure out what all the details are. Because what the Mechaber is saying is, you can make a decision about this. Is this something you would like or is something you don't want?
It's like marriage.
I didn't say that. I just want to be clear. but yes. The truth is, I would say this.
You don't know anything when you get married. It's like, you say, I want it.
It's like any major thing you undertake. Make any major commitment in life, right? There's no major commitment in life that you know what you're walking into. And in fact, again, I'll tell you the cloud goat in life is that, you know, sometimes you have people who want to have all the answers before they do something. So cloud goat is what happens to people like that? They do nothing. Because you can't get all the answers on the front end. You can't get all your assurances on the front end. Anything major in life always requires a little bit of walking into Yamsuf. You always have to walk. You have to make informed decisions. You have to try to be as well informed as you can. But Lamaisa, you never fully know what you're getting yourself into until you're into it. And that's what he's saying over here. So it's very interesting because, when I was learning this, it got me a little bit excited because I thought he was not going to give the definition. But then, right as it looks like he's about to give the definition of Dveikos Vashem, he says, whoa, one second. Just before, before we lift up the curtain, I need to know you're in this. Because if you're not in this, you know, if I'm spiritual window shopping, and I'm just trying to see, you know, yeah, looks very nice, I'll come back, I'm going to think about it a little bit. So he's going to say a person like that then is not ready for this process.
Is that an intellectual, purely intellectual decision? I could say, okay, I'm into it. But emotionally, I'm not so, I think it has to be somewhat of a...
I don't know. I think it could be either or. I think that there are many things in life where I know that I want this, or I know I want to do it, but for whatever the reason, my heart's not in it, or maybe my heart's in it, but my mind's not in it. But that's okay. It still is. It's still something I want. I don't think he's creating like a whole like you have to, your heart has to be in it, your soul has to be in it, your mind has to be in it. It's just a commitment. Saying, is this just if we were to ask, is Dveikus Bashem something you feel you want to aspire towards? Is it something in life you want? If the answer to that is yes, then great. Then great. Then already what you've done is you've accepted that as the Sibah HaKol Elas. You've accepted that then as the goal, the general goal in life of Dveikus Hashem. Then we can figure out how to actualize it. But if I haven't accepted that as a real purpose of life, then the truth is I can learn all I want, but I'm not going to actualize that goal. Again, so I don't think this is unique to here. I think it's saying in general, in anything in life that you want to accomplish, you first have to set out, what's your goal? What's your goal? So if your goal is Dveikus Bashem, fantastic. Then we can work out the process. If the goal is not Dveikus Bashem, then the rest of this process may be a little bit premature. Maybe take a little bit more time. Think about what you want out of life. Think about what you think the purpose of life is, and then you'll find your way in your journey. All right, so we'll stop over here for tonight. Baruch Hashem, we'll continue. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful art. So my grandfather's from the Bracha. My grandfather was a Talmud in Nirvaduk, in Yeshiva of Nirvaduk. What was interesting was that he was a Munkacher Chassid. So it's very rare for Chassidim to be in Nirvaduk, but he was recognized as a Talmud Chacham as a young child. So he said over, I don't know if this was his vart or I heard it from someone. So he says, in Birchas HaTorah we say, right, Eile Dvarim, Shadam Ochal Parosem Olam Hazeh, Karen Kaim Yasli Olam Habo, Kibar Avayim, Gemil Asan, Talmud Torah, in Talmud Torah Kineget Kulam. So he says that very often people assume Talmud Torah Kineget Kulam means that Talmud Torah is as important as everything else. So my grandfather Zichron Levracha posited, he said, it's not the pshat. He gave a mashal. He said, you know, in Europe, it was the custom that who was the, you know, today, like, who becomes the president of the shul? You know, the guy who draws the short straw. It's the guy who didn't, lift his hand, pull his hand back, fast enough. So, in the Kehillos in Europe, often it was the custom that it was the wealthiest kavir in the shul who became the president. He was the president of the shul. Somebody here, shul president?
Some shul still have a minog.
All right. Good. I mean, it's not a bad minog. It's not a bad minog. It's good to have someone at the helm who could get things done.
And you're fired.
All right, I'm sorry.
And executive boards too, no?
In any event, back to the marshal. So the president now comes to shul, and beautifully tailored suit and shoes and tie and shirt. And he walks in one Shabbos and he's wearing a beautiful new overcoat. Beautiful new overcoat. There's a pauper in the Kehila, and he sees the president's coat, and he's it's beautiful. And he sees that after Damien, the president puts on his coat, and everybody's gathering around, they're touching the material, he's getting so much attention, and the pauper says, you know what? I've never had covered my whole life. I'm going to save up. I'm going to get that coat. I'm not going to get that coat. And so for months and months and months, he goes without meals, and he cuts back on just the meager resources he has. He finally saves up. And he buys the coat. First Shabbos, he walks into shul, and you can imagine his head is held high. He's walking very proud. He walks into shul, and he sees people pointing and jeering and laughing. Okay, he doesn't make anything of it. After shul is over, he goes, he gets his coat. He expects everybody to start assembling around him. And again, nobody's, it's almost like, it seems like people are making fun of him. So Mamashi's heartbroken. He goes over to the president. He says, tell me, Mr. President, what's the pshat? I bought the same exact coat as you did. I bought the same exact coat as you have, and yet when you put it on, everybody's around and they're admiring. I put it on, and everybody's making fun of me. The president says, you don't understand. He says, I have the polished shoes, and I have the nice suit, and my tie is just right, and my shirt is pressed, and my hat is clean. And so when I put on that coat, it's a beautiful, beautiful accessory to an already well-polished package. But when you put on that coat, it just simply accentuates and it amplifies all of your deficiencies. Because people look at that coat and it's so incongruous with your tattered shoes and with your tattered suit and with your tattered shirt and your unkempt appearance. So the coat just doesn't fit with you. So my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, said, that's the pshat. What does it mean, Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam? Torah is the beautiful overcoat of life. If you have the suit of Midos Tovos, if you have the shoes of Chesed, if you wear the shirt of Tzedakah, if you have the fine apparel of what it means to be a real Jew in terms of Midos, in terms of positive traits, then when you put on the coat of Torah, it will be a beautiful accessory. But if I am deficient in all of those other areas, the coat of Torah just simply looks awkward. And my grandfather Zichron Levracha said, the greatest problem we have is that everybody wants to just put on the coat of Torah. Nobody really wants to buy the accessories. He says, that's the pshat in Chazal, said Talmud Torah kineged kulam. Accessorize yourself with all the proper midos of a yid, of a Jew. Torah will be a beautiful, beautiful accessory to your already polished outfit. All right.